Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to my beautiful planet Earth. I want to welcome you to It's All About You, the radio program that is celebrating life, prosperity, and unlimited potential. And I'm your host, I'm Darian Marshall. And as usual, I'm very excited and happy because it's Monday. I get to do my show, I get to learn, and I get to present some wonderful information to the world. This week is no different than all the other weeks. I am privileged to have Jocelyn Crowley on my show. She's author of this beautiful new book called Gray Divorce, What We Lose and Gain from Midlife Splits. So we're going to talk all about the book, the cover, everything. It's just really fun. Welcome to the show, Jocelyn. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. It's such a pleasure to be on with you today.
Oh, terrific. I want to make sure I'm pronouncing your name right. Is it Crowley?
You got the Jocelyn, and the last name is Crowley. So
Crowley.
Almost perfect. Almost perfect. Yeah, it's my a nice Irish last name.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. Well, congratulations on your new book. I'm telling
Thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I laughed so hard when I got the copy in the mail because that lady's face, her expression, is so funny to me. She's looking at him like, are you kidding me?
So the cover of the book is this couple, and they're staring at each other like they don't really like each other that much anymore.
Oh, it's crazy. She's not having any of it. It's just too funny. Now, exactly. All right, I want to get right into this because I was really so excited about the whole thing. So what is gray divorce anyway? We could just start right off with that.
Sure. A gray divorce is simply a divorce where one member of the couple is age 50 or older. So, you know, what we found out in looking at trends and statistics over the past couple of decades is that while the divorce rate for the country overall, for younger people, overall has been stabilizing and actually has been declining a little bit, the gray divorce rate has actually doubled over the past two decades. So we're now in a situation where one out of every four divorces in the United States is gray, and we expect that number to actually grow over time.
Oh, I see. So what are the factors driving this explosion across the United States now?
There are a number of factors that have really made people in midlife take a look at themselves and say, you know, maybe this is time that we break up. First of all, is just the aging of the baby boomer generation. So we simply just have more people crossing the age threshold of 50 and older. So, you know, there were 100 million Americans who were age 50 and older in 2010, and we expect that to be over 160 million by 2050. So just with more numbers, you're going to have more gray divorces. The second reason is just simply increased life expectancy. So that in 1950, the average man could expect to live to be about 65 years old and the average woman 71. Now the average man lives to 76 years old and the average woman lives to 81 years old. So simply by people living longer, they have more of a chance to look at their lives and to say, you know, maybe I want to change. We're living longer. We can do things longer. Maybe I want to change. And then lastly, I think there has been a cultural shift around divorce. It used to be the case that getting divorced was a big source of shame in American families. And that has really changed, you know, from the 1970s on with a shift towards no-fault divorce in the United States, there's a lot less stigma to divorce. So all of these reasons are really, you know, kind of propelling these trends and these statistics upward.
Can you give me your actual website?
Sure. It's my first and last name together. So it's jocelyncrowley.com, JocelynCrowley, one word, .com.
Now, this may sound like a little strange question, but
I'm ready for it.
I mean, you're definitely not gray, and you don't look anywhere near 50. So, what interests you in this? I don't understand.
God will bless you until the end of time.
Oh, stop.
So for the gray part, I have to thank my colorist at my hair salon who helps keep that away. I get a little bit of assistance in that department. I've always been interested in writing about family policy in the United States. And so this is my fourth book. My three previous books have looked at issues of child support and child custody in the United States. I've also written a book that looks at women and combining paid work with raising their families. So I've always been interested in this question of family formation and what can disrupt families. And what was really interesting to me is that as a child, I spent a lot of time with my grandparents in the summer. My sister and I spent time in southeastern Massachusetts with my grandparents while my mom was working, and they spoiled us to death, but they had this marriage that was really kind of this traditional marriage. They were actually married for 68 years, God bless them both, and they were happily married, but that didn't mean that they didn't fight. They fought all the time. You know, they fought about the things that, you know, every couple fights about, you know, like take out the trash, you know, where's my dinner, those kinds of things. But they never, ever, ever talked about getting a divorce, ever. About 5 or 6 years ago, I was reading a newspaper, and I saw an article that actually talked about some of these statistics related to gray divorce, and it actually said, you know, one out of every four divorces is now gray. And that was so contrary to my life experiences that I knew that I really wanted to research the subject matter.
Wow. So how did you learn more about the individuals who are going through a gray divorce?
So I needed to find people to talk to me. So as a researcher, what you really want to do if you want to interview people, the first step is to find them. And so what we decided to do was actually go out and put advertisements on Facebook. And it's actually funny. Now, you know, Facebook is in the news for all the wrong reasons. But one of the good things that Facebook does in terms of advertising is it allows you to advertise and target your ads on people age 50 and older. So all I did was put up advertisements on people's Facebook pages and ask them if they were willing to talk to me. And if so, they signed up. And I ultimately ended up interviewing 40 men and 40 women who had gone through a gray divorce. They were not married to each other. They were, had their own relationships. And I asked them a whole bunch of questions. I asked them questions about why they got divorced, primarily the consequences for them related to a divorce, and how they saw their lives unfolding going forward.
Wow. So you're a busy lady. What were the
It took a while.
So what were the surprising reasons people gave you for wanting to get divorced at that stage?
When I initially began the project, I thought, oh, this is the baby boomer generation. And the baby boomer generation is all going to be about me, you know, the me generation, fulfilling their own needs. So reasons for a divorce that I expected were things like growing apart or falling out of love or things like that, wanting to do things on their own, versus sort of the traditional explanations for divorce, which are things like adultery, emotional abuse, and so forth. But actually, surprisingly, the majority of people that I spoke with, some of them talked about growing apart, but others talked about these traditional reasons for getting divorced. There were similarities and there were some differences between men and women. Both men and women talked about growing apart. They talked about adultery, and they also talked about mental health issues of their spouses. For men, they had some different reasons as well. They talked about things like that they didn't like the way things were being managed in their households, whether they be finances or whether they be raising their children. The women, on the other hand, talked about their husbands addictions, and that the most prominent addiction was to internet pornography. So they talked about that, alcoholism, drug addiction, and they also talked a lot about verbal and emotional abuse. So while there were some differences across men and women, there often were some strong, there were differences, but there were some similarities as well.
Oh, I see. So the gray divorce penalties, are they different for men and women, too, as well as reasons?
Yeah, mm-hmm. So what I argue in the book is that women, upon a gray divorce, face what I called an economic gray divorce penalty. So the women I spoke with often talked to me about needing to work until the day they died, now that they were divorced, having to borrow money from their parents, having to live more frugally. The reason why this happens is that women take time off usually from working to raise children, to have children, to raise children. And when they return to work, they're often making less money than men. They're in jobs that are less lucrative to them. So overall, they have less saved. They have less money put into their pensions. They have less money put into their IRAs. They have less money put into their Social Security accounts. So overall, they're facing, after the age of 50, a set of really dire financial circumstances that they need to try to fix. In the book, I also talk about men, and men do not leave gray divorce unscathed. What I argue is that they face something called a social gray divorce penalty. While men are married, their wives are often what I call the social directors of their marriage. The wives are the ones who plan their social lives, get the families together, get the friends together, and so forth.
Yeah.
And, you know, when men lose that, when they no longer have their wives doing that, they become very socially isolated. They become very socially isolated also from their adult children, who tend to take the sides of the women in the case of a gray divorce. So overall, after a gray divorce, they find themselves really alienated and really, really lonely. So that is the economic gray divorce penalty that men face.
That's interesting, because I know a couple.
Yeah.
They're a little older, and you're right. Whenever there was a graduation party, a baby shower, anything, she was the one pulling it all together.
That's right.
And they did it together when it was all put together, and she's no longer around, and it's almost like he dropped off the earth. It's crazy, because everyone thought, you know, they were putting these parties on together.
Right. No, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, and that's often the case in families across the United States, that women are the social directors of their families, of their friends, and when there is a divorce, men really suffer those social consequences.
Now, you say men experience a social gray divorce penalty. Now, you touched on a little bit. Can you elaborate that on that? I'm tongue-tied. I'm so excited you're on my show. You know, I got this book, and I was so crazy to have you on to talk about that crazy picture.
I'm getting
tongue-tied.
Now people have to now buy the book because they need to see what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, where did the idea of that cover come from? I mean, it's perfect.
You know, it was actually a stock photograph that Rutgers University has a license to use. These photos that are compiled by various photographers. So I thought that one was perfect, that it really showed a couple, you know, a gray couple who are no longer happy with one another.
Right, because I thought maybe these are friends of hers or cousins, and they got together and she took the picture. It's so perfect, it's almost scary. That's what
I know. Getting back to your question, in terms of the social gray divorce penalty,
mm-hmm.
you know, a couple of things. One man who I spoke with said, you know, he had been married to his wife for over 30 years. They belonged to the same church. They went to the same church for 30 years. And then they got divorced. And then his father-in-law died, and he went to the church for the funeral. And he said that nobody from her family talked to him. No one approached him. Friends, clergy, no one approached him to tell him that they were sorry about, you know, the divorce or anything, and he felt horrible about it. Another man told me that you know, he admitted to having a series of affairs in his marriage, and that he said that over time, you know, his daughter really refused to talk to him. You know, she was a very, very moral young lady, and she was very upset with his behavior. And so for a long period of time, she wouldn't talk to him either. And so, you know, these social consequences are very, very real for the men. And what I do is, you know, in the book I say that there are solutions for men and for women. For men in this social grade divorce penalty, I really say that, you know, men need to become a lot more comfortable seeking out psychotherapy or therapy if they need it after their grade divorces. Oftentimes they have no one to talk to, and they really need that level of support. So seeking out therapy, also seeking out support groups, I think is really, really important for men experiencing this transition in their lives. Especially support groups that are made up of mostly men, so that they feel free, you know, to actually express themselves and go through what they're experiencing. For the women, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about the economic grade divorce penalty. I think that there are a bunch of solutions that women can take advantage of there, as well as policymakers can implement. First of all, I think that with respect to pre-retirement policies, I think we need to do a lot better about educating both boys and girls in high school about the importance of money management. You know, oftentimes people, you know, they go through life and they don't even know how to balance their checkbook. Mm-hmm. And we really need to get people, even, you know, teenagers, to start to think about what it means to save and to save for your retirement. And then post-retirement, I'm a big champion of Social Security reform. Right now, the average woman takes home $14,000 a year in Social Security benefits, and the average man takes home $18,000 in Social Security benefits. And oftentimes in the United States, that's all retired people have to live on. And the difference, why we see such a gap between men and women, is that women contribute less because they've taken time out to raise children. So I'm a big advocate for raising Social Security benefits overall. I'm also a big advocate of giving women credit for the time that they spend at home doing the most important job on the planet, which is raising children.
Yeah.
You know, Social Security right now looks at that and says that's worth zero. So every year that you're doing that, we're going to put zero into your formula for calculating your benefits. So there are a lot of proposals to actually put in a number or a value for women who are doing that important care work. So ultimately, down the road, they have a lot more in terms of Social Security benefits to draw upon.
Now, I have another odd question.
I like odd questions.
Well, after the great divorce, a great divorce, well, I don't want to see these people, but do any of them want to remarry, get back together? Is that possible?
I mean, the men definitely do, and we find this across the age spectrum. Men are much more likely to remarry than women, and the reasons are is that they really want the companionship. They really desire the companionship. Only rarely did men say to me, no, it's out of the question. I was too emotionally hurt. For the women, on the other hand, women do not want to get remarried. And most of the time that has to do with caregiving, that they had taken care of their spouses for so long during the marriage, and that they finally decided, you know, after the marriage was over, that they didn't want to take care of anyone else. They didn't want to do anyone's laundry. They didn't want to cook anyone's dinner again. They were done. Only the smallest number of women said, yeah, I'd be open to remarrying for companionship purposes. So men and women, very, very, very different reactions to the proposal of being remarried.
Well, so it seems that great divorce has pluses and minuses. Was it different for the men as opposed to the women?
So for both men and women, when they were talking about the minuses, for both of them, the number one minus is loneliness. You know, they've all talked about, I hate the fact that I'm home alone. There's no one to share my day with. I can't, there's no one for me to share my experiences with. And I feel, you know, just sad and lonely. Women also talked about financial concerns as well. But in terms of happiness, both men and women talked about freedom and independence. They were really excited about this new chapter in their lives.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and they were looking forward to starting this new life on their own and really, you know, turning a new page in their lives and starting a new chapter.
Now, what? I mean, it's a nice size book. Is there one thing you definitely want everyone to take away from the book when they get it?
Yes, I'd like people to know that men and women over the age of 50 don't divorce lightly. They really, really consider it. And there are severe consequences to divorcing over the age of 50. For women, there are economic consequences, and for men, there are these social consequences that we talked about. But overall, I would say that the men and the women I spoke to were really, really optimistic about their futures. They wanted to go forward in their lives, and they were ready to make a change, and they were overwhelmingly filled with hope about their futures, and I wanted to really tell their stories. Hopefully, I was successful.
Oh, terrific. Do you speak around the country, or can they find you anywhere on YouTube? I mean, you're really interesting.
Oh, thank you so much. I would say I sometimes give talks, and on my website, JocelynCrowley.com, at the bottom of the homepage on the website, I usually list upcoming events, places that I might go to speak about my research, so people can definitely check out that information there.
This is great. So you just covered really all aspects of family life, it seems like to me. You started with the kids and then you're the older ones.
Yeah. No, it keeps going. You know, I just, my own personal background is that I grew up and my parents divorced when I was 7. And it had such an important and in many ways devastating consequence for me as a child growing up in that environment, that it really, really motivated my career and for me really to consider what happens to families after they break apart, what happens to children, you know, what happens when older people get divorced, are there similar consequences? And then also because my mom was a single mother, I was really interested in how she went about, you know, working for pay and raising us, which was the topic of my third book. So I think really my own personal background has really motivated all of my interest and all of the book projects that I've pursued throughout my career.
Mike, what is it like? I used to ask this. I used to have a show years ago with my best friend. We used to do the show together. I always ask, what does it feel like to know that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing? I mean, this is obviously where you should be. I mean, you're talking and it's smooth. Everything you say just coming right out. And you have a great personality. Like,
you're so sweet.
I mean, it's the truth. Hey, what is that like, knowing you are doing what you're supposed to be doing? That must be a lot of fun.
You know what? I really feel that God has blessed me in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that I have hit the lottery of jobs. You know, many people are not as fortunate as I am in terms of the educational opportunities that they have. And I've been really, really blessed in that regard in terms of being able to go to college and then being able to pursue my graduate degree. And then, you know, I grew up in New Jersey and I interviewed one of the jobs I interviewed after I got my doctorate degree was at Rutgers, which is the State University of New Jersey. And I went there and I felt like I was coming home. And I've been there throughout my entire career. I have the best combination of opportunities in my career. I can pursue research, which I love to do, hopefully make a difference in people's lives in that way. And I can also teach, and I love teaching. I love my students. I love seeing their minds grow. So overwhelmingly, I'm just really, really blessed. I have hit the lottery of careers, I'm so lucky to have the opportunities I have, and whatever I can do to try to improve the lives of families through my research, as well as the lives of my students who I'm fortunate enough to come into contact with at Rutgers, you know, so much the better. My life is better for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, believe it or not, we ran out of time. This is a sign of a great show when this stuff just flies like that.
I'm so happy to hear it.
Oh, yeah. I think we've got one more minute left. Perfect, perfect. I've had shows where it was like pulling teeth. It was not like that with you.
I'm so glad. I'm great. So glad.
Thank you so much, so much.
It was great. It was, you know, I was talking to Isabella, and she speaks so highly of you.
Oh, that's so sweet. Wow, thank you. She's wonderful.
And I'm so grateful that you took the time to have me on your show and to take an interest in my work. I really, really appreciate it. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you all for listening in. You've been listening to It's All About You, the radio program that is celebrating life, prosperity, and unlimited potential. And I'm your host, Darian Marshall. My guest today was Jocelyn Crowley, and she's author of this fabulous book with the awesome, funny cover.
Love the cover.
Called Gray Divorce, What We Lose and Gain from Midlife Splits. Really, really wonderful. Get out there and get it, and you won't be sorry. This is really good. So I look forward to being with you all again next week, the same time, and so be it.